web friends stop the movie and want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined, as in most weeks, by Brian Muir.
Going this way now.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't prepared.
No, I wanted to shake it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Andy Wolf.
Oh, Sweetie Swag. What's in the bag?
All right.
That's terrible. That's
can
terrible.
Someone, all right. Somebody, how should people contact us? Via Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
They can contact us on the Facebook.
Any number of ways. If you've ever heard the phrase swiggity swag,
what's in the bag,
please let us know.
Yeah.
Andy claims this is
if
something.
If they got teenage daughters, they have heard it.
Swiggity swag. I don't think any kids would say swiggity
they
swag.
Have. I'm telling you.
I don't think anyone.
They wouldn't be caught dead saying swiggity swag.
Yeah. Cody?
I think you would get punched in the face in high school if you said swiggity swag.
In the 80s you would have, but now it's 2013.
What year is it?
I'm going to run this.
2013.
Yeah, we need to run this by some people. Cody Wolf is here. Jack Astabrook
I never
is
disrobe
here.
Before a gunfight, gentlemen.
Yeah. And this
I
is
never
the...
disrobe before a podcast.
This is the big return of Nicolas Cage.
This was the best line in the whole movie. That one made me laugh.
Maybe the best line ever.
I think it was about time to bring him back.
To bring Nicolas Cage back. 2010,
I kind of missed him.
Drive Angry.
11, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. 2011.
Let's get it right.
Yeah, Drive Angry.
Obviously in 3D as things fly towards the screen every five seconds.
Let's
just give a little bit of the premise. Because the premise is like...
Just read the back of the box. It's just amazing.
Actually, I am going to... Because the back of the box is crazy. Well, in the high-octane action-adventure Drive Angry, Nicolas Cage stars as Milton, an undead felon who breaks out of hell to avenge his murdered daughter and rescue her kidnapped baby from a band of cult-worshipping savages. Yep, that pretty much sums it up.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, to what the Roger Ebert quote on there...
Roger Ebert, there's a quote, says, so jaw-droppingly excessive that even Quentin Tarantino might send flowers.
I want to know the whole review.
I don't think that was meant as a compliment.
That's what I'm wondering. I want to know the whole review.
Like a positive,
Because I think they took like a little snippet of a bad review.
That's what they always do. Yeah, they always do that.
It could be.
Yeah, well,
the film wasn't fantastic.
It's actually
Roger Ebert says fantastic.
Yeah. It's actually 45% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is shocking.
Well,
shockingly
it doesn't
high.
Shock me because I think this hits a crowd. Like there's a crowd of people who just would
of
like
crap,
a,
savage crash, crap worshippers.
Of fun,
it's the Fast and Furious crowd.
Yeah, well, the Fast and Furious crowd would love this.
They're much worse than Fast.
The people who liked Ghost Rider, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna say
which
something.
Was no one.
Well, this is actually Ghost Rider 2, basically.
What this was bound to happen at some point in the show. I'm gonna say it. I didn't hate this movie. I didn't like this movie. I didn't hate this movie.
I feel betrayed.
I didn't hate it.
I'm with Brian on this one. I think this movie was trying to make me have that opinion, and I didn't feel it.
I think I agree with Alex.
It's bad.
Let me give you just my thoughts on this. This movie is trying to be a grindhouse movie. It's trying to be grind.
Absolutely.
It's not done well.
It's not doing right.
It's not done well. The whole time I was watching this, it was like... you had a grindhouse movie that was being shot by the crew from Grey's Anatomy. Like it had none of like the creativity you'd want to see in like a grind. But and I'm because I 100% bought into William Fichtner's character, and I was entertained with everything William Fichtner did.
Yeah, he was pretty.
Everything.
He got better. Like,
the accountant.
Yeah,
that was. If they changed that, I might have liked it more.
I thought
he was probably the best part of the movie, but even still, he was just kind
I thought
of
he
playing
was
up
better.
Was
worst
he
wanted,
he wanted he wanted a little less account and a little more Tom Atkins is what he.
I need more Tom Atkins.
For me, I thought that
no one knows.
He was probably. I think he was probably the best part. Of
I think
the movie.
He was. I thought that Bill Fichtner was like the,
a Tom Atkins topless.
No,
scene?
No,
God,
no,
that's
no.
disturbing.
Oh, Amanda Heard topless scene.
I thought Bill Fichtner was the only one who really. Like fully committed to this movie, like to this, like who really, like they were trying to do a crazy grindhouse, like crazy over the top, like
fantasy
you know,
action
out of this world. And I thought he was the only one who actually tonally was like getting what they were doing, and because the rest of it was just very like it looked like a network TV show. It was like a grindhouse script, but like
that's a very
on
good description,
TV.
I guess. Right. It just doesn't look innovative or creative. It's just
well, actually,
you expect
I thought
that.
Sorry.
That grindhouse feel.
Well, at a grindhouse
to have that look, to have a grindhouse look.
The CG, the terrible CG.
Oh my God, that's the one thing we got to talk about. The CG was so bad.
The CG was bad, but it was also just so generically done. Like you had to do, if you're gonna do something like this, and they almost had to like the storyline for it. You got to go crazy with it, and it didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top of it.
Okay,
I mean grindhouse.
Yeah,
but the nudity was.
Well, I thought Nicolas Cage was the one who was. No, recognizing what he was in.
He was sleeping through it.
No,
yeah. But that's pretty much what I, you know.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
He kept it like as even kind of like.
No. In fact,
he had to be more over the top.
No, it
wasn't really over the top, though. He was.
Oh, he was. No.
He was playing it dead serious, and he should have been having fun with it.
Because I think he was having fun with it. I'm convinced. This is what I'm convinced happened is Nicolas Cage was like, all of them expect me to be crazy and flipping out. You know what? I'm not going to do that at all. And because you're like waiting the whole movie for him to flip out or like to totally wig out. And he is playing this so low. He's like intentionally being like, I am not going to give them what I'm not going to be the crazy guy they think I am. So in the end, he just plays this like it's like mid-80s Stallone. Like he's barely speaking. He's mumbling all movie. He's just sort of like sleepwalking through scenes. And meanwhile, all this crazy stuff's going on around him, and you're like, tonally, it's terrible.
You let me down, Nick. You let me down.
I thought he was terrible. But the fact that I'm saying I didn't hate it, that is 100% a compliment for Bill Fichtner.
Yeah. I liked him and his character.
Oh, yes. Fichtner deserves mad props for that role.
Yeah.
A little oddly placed, but he did it very well.
Yeah. So, all right, let's start off right at this movie. The movie starts off crazy with... Like when the movie starts off with Nicolas Cage driving a car out of hell, he escapes from hell by jumping out of hell in a car, which I was like,
apparently
okay.
there's just a bridge out of hell. He's driving
and he drives on it.
He just like guns it
way out of hell.
He's like, if I gun it, I can make it, and he does apparently in the world of this movie.
I guess there's auto sales in hell and.
Or auto theft, Grand Theft Auto in hell.
Grand Theft Auto.
These automobiles in hell.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto Inferno.
Yeah.
And a god gun. And he steals a god gun.
That they'll explain later.
And he gets to keep his ID when he goes to hell, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, aren't they implying that he's just wearing what he was wearing when he died? Like, he's got all the same stuff?
I think so.
I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah.
So, anyway, there's these guys who are driving away from him. Like, he's already chasing bad guys. Like, it goes from he escapes hell, and then all of a sudden we're mid... action scene.
He knew where he was, right? When he got out of hell, he's like, oh, okay, this is 5th and Pine Street. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this chase, there's sort of this chase scene and like, you kind of get hints in this beginning part that it wants to be over the top, because like, a truck hits Nick Cage and flips in the air, like Looney Tunes style. Like, it does like 3 like flips while in the air before landing. But then it like kind of shifts back at times. So like Nick Cage is playing it so straight laced that I'm like, oh, okay. I just watched a truck. So are those guys dead? Like what? Or was that for crazy effect? Or I don't like. I never knew what kind of tone they were going for, because it was never consistent at any time during.
Yeah,
this
Nicolas
movie.
Cage is like in a movie, and everyone else is in a different movie, basically.
Pretty much.
Well, then you get your first cheesy 3D gag here. Which, like I was saying a few minutes ago, it's old school 3D where things are flying out of the screen, out of the the screen.
They made it gimmicky. Yeah.
Instead of newer 3D where it's more depth, oriented. This is stuff coming out of the screen. So Nicolas Cage catches these guys. They crash. One of them gets out, and he gets out of his car with a shotgun, and shoots the guy's hand off, and it comes flying at the screen.
And we can
that's the moment I went, oh, that's right.
We can say he literally shoots the guy's hand off.
Yeah.
Like, the entire hand comes flying off.
It was a clean break.
Yeah. And then we kind of cut to this the Amber Heard storyline, where Amber Heard is a waitress at a diner.
Well, basically,
pretty trashy conversation.
During that scene where he's chasing guys, he's trying to find out where somebody is. He's
yes.
asking these guys, where is she? They give him. They say, some. They say that the name of a prison.
Yeah.
And they say like the Deacon's Tree or something.
Yeah.
Which will come in later on. You figure out what that is, but so then it goes to the diner.
Goes to the diner.
She's telling her friend about how if she's not going to let her boyfriend's junk near her face again unless he asks her to marry him.
Yeah, and she said, and they were,
and she said, and then he proposed the next day. I was like, what?
Well, before that, she's with her other waitress friend is like, well, how long's it been since you've been doing it? And she's like, 2 days, but that's like a decade in horny effort years. Like, wow, and that math is really,
this is a very romantic story. I just want to say.
I was fascinated by that math. I'm like, wow, if 2 days is a decade and horny effort, I'm like, okay, you know, it really got me thinking.
Like the math. Yeah.
And then in this scene too, I was thinking, okay, they are going for the record and how many times you can say you can drop the F-bomb in a movie.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh,
they go for it. Like, I mean, oh, they go for it in a minute when she's driving her car and she's listening to the radio.
Wow, we're just going to, it's going to be one of these movies where...
I feel like we almost need to temporarily suspend our no cursing rule in some parts in this movie because we're just not going to be able to do it justice.
It's going to be very hard to describe things in this movie.
Let's just say forget it and just go with it.
Yeah,
what you're saying is we should just say fuck it and just go for it?
Yes.
It's broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Movie. You have to. There are certain scenes in the movie that just have to be described in R-rated
to
details.
To do it justice.
Yeah, right. It's an R-rated movie, so we should be able to be R-rated.
We should be in 3D.
We're all adults here.
So you can't be like, oh, they were doing it.
By the way, this podcast is being recorded in 3D.
I think, again, it's on the emphasis there. Because the emphasis on the first one is really creepy. All right, so we should mention, too. So Nicolas Cage is in the diner, and I thought of Brian with this, with his bowfinger theory, because there's shots of Nicolas Cage sitting in a booth where I'm like, I think this is just what Nicolas Cage was doing in the booth.
Did they just find Nicolas Cage in the diner?
Yeah.
Wearing all black?
Because he's just sitting there with, like, his head in his hands, acting like a weirdo. Not even like a spaz, just like a weirdo. And they keep cutting back to the shot, and I'm like, I wonder if the B unit crew is just like, you know what? Just shoot a little of that. Roll on that. You know, we'll work it in somehow.
This scene is just fantastic.
It's crazy. So the other waitress from Mike and Molly.
He's bound him down.
Oh, and he's bound him down. Yeah. And she comes over, and she's
like instantly really into him.
Like she really is like starting to hit on him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like really going for the tip there.
Yeah. There's this trend of
Yeah, you can interpret that however you want. Yeah.
There's this trend of like waitresses.
She says there's a full moon coming, and the full moon makes her Randy. Who the hell says that? Yeah, I know. Who the hell says
for
that?
2 days.
I say Randy.
You also say Skiddy.
She did say Randy, right? That was in my
what's
notes.
What's in the bag? So I shouldn't be surprised by that.
And then he kisses her. He grabs her by the hand and he gives her this passionate kiss.
But then he's like, I told you I wanted sugar in my coffee.
and then he just starts pouring the sugar in his coffee.
I watched this scene like 3 times to get the order right because he asked for coffee with sugar. She brings the coffee. And then they're like doing this weird thing where like they're holding hands while she's telling him about the prison. And then he looks like he's going to strangle her.
Right.
But then he like pulls her in for a kiss. And then, like, pushes her back, and while still holding her neck, sips the coffee.
Yep.
Only, like, one motion.
This is a lot of coordination.
Right? I mean, you almost got the feeling that Nicolas Cage, like, has done this before. Like, all right, I'm going to order coffee, then I'm going to kiss the waitress, so I'm going to try the coffee.
Well, and then I'm going to pour sugar in. I'm gonna chastise her for not putting sugar in the coffee, and then put the sugar in myself. From the sugar.
Yeah, he had the sugar.
Right,
what an asshole.
Yeah.
And then he looks out the window and sees a nice car. I can't remember what kind of car it was.
And like draws his attention to this car.
Right. And he's like, oh, is that your car? And she's like, no. And he's like, he sees the other Amber Heard.
Whose name
like,
is Piper, by the way.
Is that her car? And she's like, yeah.
I really wanted her to say no, so then he just kept pointing to different people in the diner. Well, is it her car? Yeah. His car?
Yeah.
It's like 10 minutes later.
Give me a clue.
That guy's car? Whose car is it? Whose car is it?
This was the scene. Well,
how to get parked? How to get parked? I don't know. How to get parked?
This was the scene that the way it was written, I think it was written for him to flip out. And he was like, I'm not doing that. I refuse. I'm not flipping out. You know, you guys can do it, write it however you want, but I'm not flipping out. You know, because
even his like makeout scene with her was done with like the least amount of effort you possibly could put into a scene like that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's the way I liked it though. I like this even just...
Oh, I thought you meant like personally, that's how you like it.
Oh, yeah. Like, take it any way you want, Brian.
Then you should watch a lot of Stallone movies from the
80s. I like that kind of like, is this this even keel guy? Whatever's going on around him, he's just... Yeah, it's like this Stallone shit, okay?
Well, which,
it's unrealistic, which, but this is an unrealistic movie.
Well, which I would, which normally I'd like that, but like in a like his yeah, performance this, is the not
this, this
fitting
plot
the movie
is so over the top, and
to
he
do.
Downplays it. Yeah, I think that's a mistake. I think he should have gone crazy. Yeah.
So then, the important thing that happens in the scene is that he sees Amber Heard helping out a family who obviously can't afford to. I don't know why they're eating at a diner because they can only afford one meal.
She says, "Here you go." It's
the family's
house.
Terrible.
So
they like bring
she
a little
gives
kid
them food
to
for free.
A diner, yeah. And so they can't afford to pay for her.
So she gives just she gives the family some muffins and milk or something for free, and her boss gets angry at her
and then feels her out and
tries to rape her.
So, but
they're at the freaking counter.
But basically, yeah, this Nicolas Cage sees her being nice to this family, and it basically ruins the rest of her life.
Pretty much. Because she gets pretty much. Right.
She gets, this is what happens when you're nice to people.
She's chosen yeah. from that moment.
Because she's kind
of. She gave a child a muffin.
And yep. She then proceeds to make a series of choices for the rest of this movie that are, like, insane.
Right.
Like, she's a crazy person. And, like, she could not make worse choices for the rest of this movie.
So, basically, so she's now driving home in her nice car.
And she's singing a song.
And she's listening to a song, the song by Peaches, called, I can't remember which one, where it's just basically...
Fuck the pain away.
Right. Fuck the pain away. Right. She starts screaming at that at the
just
top of
over and over and over again. And
everybody!
This is just the chorus of the song. And she's just singing it out loud, driving down the country road.
And can we talk about how everything in this movie is crazy? Like, even her just pulling out of the parking lot is like... Yeah. Like, on two wheels, she almost gets pancaked. I mean... I don't know how anyone in this movie lives more than a week the way they drive.
Well,
they
drive
well, that's why the main character is already dead.
Then you see the license plate
yeah.
which says Drive Angry on it.
Oh, did I even get
it? Yeah, license plate says Drive Angry.
I was wondering why this movie was called Drive Angry.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah because Nicolas Cage downplays it. It's more like Driving
not
Mellow.
Driving in the movie.
Yeah. Doing angry yeah. things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive. This movie should be called Drive Theoretically Angry.
But then her car breaks down all of a sudden.
Which I'm assuming Nicolas Cage orchestrated.
I thought so.
Because he shows up and he does nothing. He like lifts up the hood and
Nicolas
says,
Cage
okay,
has the best entrance to
away.
The scene. She like pulls over, her car is overheating. He just appears from the woods and walks straight to the car. He's like, I can fix that. Yeah. Like, okay.
It's not a big problem.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was like a stage and he just like entered stage left out of the woods.
Yeah. And right about this time, we now get introduced to William Fichtner, who's in this movie. He's wearing like a suit.
He's called the accountant.
He's called the accountant, and he's queer. We don't know why.
Probably yet. The best character and the only interesting character in the entire film.
Yeah,
I thought overall his character was good. I thought this scene, the first scene he was in, the pacing of the lines made no.
It was
the
awkward.
Way he
it was
said the
stilted,
line.
Yeah.
I'm looking for traveler, tall, out of. Place. It was like I thought he was like being William Shatner.
That fits for a grindhouse look, though. Yeah.
Well, I guess it would have been okay if it was consistent, but then he didn't talk like that the rest of the movie.
That's true, though.
It was like that one scene where he was just talking with like pregnant pauses every other word.
Yeah, I felt like they took a weird take. Like that. Well, I'm going to talk about two frustrations I have with this movie. One is, as I said before, it's shot like a TV show. So much stuff is done in master. And then, you know, they're just basically doing cutbacks. You know, they're, like, switching reversals and stuff. Like, it's shot like you would see an episode of CSI New York shot. And I feel like they used a master for that one with him doing this kind of weird alternate take on it.
Yeah.
That then didn't really quite fit
just
the tone of
the rest of
his
experimenting with the character. Maybe this was an early scene that they shot, and he was just experimenting with the character.
Yeah. This wasn't my favorite scene of his in the movie. I thought it got better from here. But, yeah, that was... That was sort of a weird.
But it's clear that he's following them, and everywhere they go, he shows up once they've gone. Like he's right on their tail.
Yeah.
And you don't know who he is. He just calls himself the accountant.
So Piper takes. She says she can only take him as far as her trailer park. So she takes. She arrives home. Gets home. He gets out of the car. They say their goodbyes. He goes to a phone booth to make a call.
And then she goes
into.
Piper goes into the house. And her man is having sex with some floozy who she throws out of the house while
she's
stark naked.
Well, my favorite part is as she's throwing the girl out of the house, the guy's chasing behind going, she was showing me something, trying to make excuses. Like,
wait, I could explain.
This is another scene that's shot like how just a stand... Like, it's not... The scene, the idea of what's happening in the scene is over the top. The way it's shot is not really. It's just shot like an R-rated movie scene. Yeah. Like, they're trying to minimize frontal nudity, and they're trying to, like... And you're like, why are you holding back in this movie? Anyone who's going to go see this movie, it does not want you to be holding back. Right. They want you to take this as far as you can.
The funny thing is about this scene is that the guy that's doing screwing is...
doing screwing.
That's another thing that the kids are saying.
He's the writer. He's the writer.
Oh, really?
And he's written himself that part before. Like in My Bloody Valentine, he wrote that one. Same guy screwing the girl.
So he purposely puts himself in movies so he can creep on naked girls.
That guy's the writer of this
movie? At least
two
I know. Yeah, yeah.
It's Todd Farmer. This is the same director. Because
the moment I saw him, I'm like, I think that's Todd Farmer again doing a screwing scene.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Well, this is the same.
That he wrote it.
This is the same director of My Bloody Valentine.
I thought it must have been because he wrote it and he's in it screwing the...
Oh, this scene is kind of...
And they do another My Bloody Valentine moment later too with Tom Atkins.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Okay.
Todd Farmer also wrote Jason X too, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. He didn't have one.
He probably shouldn't be hired to write movies anymore.
He doesn't have a good track.
No, My Bloody Valentine. I liked it.
So anyway, they get into this fight. She's gonna storm off, and the naked girl is just like lying on the ground, and some fat guy takes a cell phone picture of her.
Walking around the background taking pictures.
And then
Louis Anderson.
And then he hits her.
Yeah.
And he starts beating her up, and she says, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna tell everybody what you did with my pink dildo."
Yeah.
Which sets him off, and then Nicolas Cage
want people knowing that.
And finally decides he's gonna help her out. He kind of watches her get the crap kicked out of her for a little bit before he decides to walk over and help her.
Well, and then in the most lifeless fight scene ever, and that says a lot for Nicolas Cage fight scenes, because we've seen Season of the Witch, he like punches this guy.
He looks more in his element beating up women.
Yeah, it's true.
In Wickerman,
So he like punches this guy, and then the guy falls over, and then Nicolas Cage just kind of stands there. This is like the laziest blocking, not just for a grindhouse movie, for any movie. And then an air conditioner falls in this guy's face. So I'm thinking, oh, he's dead.
He's clearly dead. He's gonna crush him. Yeah.
You know, sure enough, he'll be back in the movie. I'm like,
With no marks on his face.
No ill will. And like an air conditioner that had to weigh like 70 or 80 pounds fell on his head. Okay. And now we kind of go into like, and I was kind of in and out of this movie. We start to go into these cult flashbacks. Because they're
driving and he's flashing back to this brutal murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Nick Cage is thinking of.
Yes.
It's all
him. It will be explained soon.
Yeah, it's basically this guy, Jonah King, who was a cult leader, murdered this woman, who you find out later is his daughter, is Nicolas
Cage's
daughter.
Milton,
yeah.
He murdered...
This is the reason really he murdered a bizarre her scene. Can we describe this?
Because he's forcing a blowjob from him or something.
Well, and this is the thing, like, they kind of, like, imply
bites his dick
off. Yeah, she apparently bites his penis off.
Yeah. Which they imply, really, but they aren't even willing to like come out and like say that.
No, they say it later on.
They say it at the end.
Yeah, they talk around it. And meanwhile, Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard are now going to this kind of... They go...
Like a trucker bar.
To a trucker bar.
And some guy's like, Milton, I thought you were dead.
And everyone... And then
everyone
like,
in the bar is like
well,
that.
And again, like Nicolas Cage is like, nope. I'm like, okay, all right, well.
Oh, that settles that.
Then he shows his ID, and she's like, this is ancient. It's like, well, how old is his ID? How long ago was he killed? Because
the baby is still a baby,
like
20 right?
Years ago.
Yeah, but the baby's still a baby.
But he didn't know the baby.
Well, he died before the baby.
Oh, yeah.
He died when his daughter was like 16.
Got it.
I guess if you saw a 10-year-old driver's license, you might be, it's ancient. I don't know.
I think it's even older than that. I think it's like.
What, he died in like the 1970s?
Isn't it still proof that he was born when he was born, though? Because all he's doing is trying to buy a beer with
him. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just funny because like, this is ancient. So it's okay, well, I'm obviously trying to set it.
There's also a few little jokes in there. Like, he doesn't know what cell phones are. He's like, give me one of those things you guys talk to each other with. And when she goes to card him, he's like, are you kidding me? She's like, sorry, it's the law. I got to card everybody. You know, it's kind of obvious he's been out for a while. And when Piper's like, you're acting strange, he's like, I was in jail. You know, he kind of alludes to it.
And Piper's such a slut, she just gave
She literally her... just walks over to the waiter and says, I'll see you tomorrow, and she grabs the waiter and they leave.
This made me laugh.
And this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
I laughed at this, though, because she grabs the waiter and she's like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm just taking this guy. And she said something like, oh, I gotta, I don't know.
I gotta go get my nails done.
I gotta get my nails painted. And then in the next scene, laugh. Literally, the waiter is naked, but all he's doing is painting her toes.
And he's like, Are we going to have sex soon? And she's like, I don't know. And they're listening to loud sex. And yet he's completely naked, painting her toenails.
Yeah, I was wondering how he got into that situation where he was naked, but all he's doing is painting her toes.
Yeah.
So then, because she's fully clothed.
Like, what did she say to him to get him to undress, but then, like, to paint her?
And then we hear sex in the other room, and it turns out that it's Nicolas Cage just lying on his back while this girl.
He's like lying on his back. He's like sitting up.
And he's fully clothed. And she's having sex with him.
Yeah.
I think we
I'm not even sure if he's conscious because he has sunglasses on.
I think we do.
This may or may not have been.
I don't even think his pants are open.
It could have been just like a body double.
It could have been another Bowfinger scene.
It could have been a mannequin that they created.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I love how he played this so like even like that. He's getting screwed. He's like, he's sitting there, like, you know, with his glasses on, and just.
Well, in that scene, it makes sense because he's waiting for the gunfight.
In that scene, in this scene,
yeah, that scene it worked.
In that scene, it worked. In the rest of the movie, it didn't. Well, and then there's a scene that this just didn't make sense to me. So Amber Heard, for reasons that are still unclear, sneaks back into the restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
She thinks someone sees someone.
Oh, right. That's what it was. Yeah.
She sees a news report on TV.
But
she saw somebody out the window.
She sees one of the. It's a hotel and a restaurant. Right. There's gonna be people outside the window all the time.
Well, why are you going? What are you looking for?
Yeah, why is someone outside? If you're going sneaking at the restaurant every time you see someone outside, you're not going into the restaurant all night.
You're not getting any sleep.
Yeah. So she sneaks into the restaurant.
Conveniently, there's a TV news broadcast setting up who this Jonah King character is. Cult leader Jonah King is on the loose. We're looking for him, and then all of a sudden she recognizes him as he conveniently steps into the bar. And then she hides behind the bar.
An empty bar. So the cult guys come in, have a 15-second meeting in an empty bar. It takes them longer to come into the bar than their meeting is. They accomplish nothing.
And Jonah King's holding on to a femur bone.
And then they leave. And then they leave. Like, it takes them longer to come in and out.
They almost see her, but they don't see her.
Yeah.
And I leave.
They didn't even do anything. They're just like, yeah, we're all in this together. This cult is going fantastic. I'm really proud of what we're doing.
Your dues are due on Monday.
Potluck dinner's on the 15th.
Yeah. Anyone have any Robert's Rules of Order says we close. Okay, we got to go. And they walk out. None of the characters, most of them didn't even speak. I don't know what the... It was essentially like they just needed somehow for the Amber Heard character. It was like, this is where this is a little lazy. Right. They just needed the Amber Heard character to acknowledge that there was some kind of cult subplot going on.
Right.
To somehow reinforce the bad decisions she makes from this point on in the movie.
Right, especially the big one that's coming up.
We also go back to the accountant who is beating up the writer of this film.
That happened already.
Oh, yeah, the accountant, right. The accountant,
I think they're supposed to be happening simultaneously. Yeah, right. So it doesn't matter the word.
Yeah, because the accountant goes to the dude's house there.
Yeah, Amber Heard's former fiancé.
And he's looking for information about
him up, and he basically says something like, why do I keep getting beat up today? He has some stupid line like that.
Yeah.
Basically kills him.
And he kills him.
And then somehow convinces these two state troopers that he's an FBI agent. I thought he was using some type of, pixie dust or something.
I think he may have been.
Because Jedi mind trick?
All of these troopers are kind of like, oh yeah, we gotta go help this guy out.
No one seemed to be alarmed when he had like a coin and flipped it in the air, and then when he caught it and turned to an FBI badge.
Yeah. I think there may have. I think they were kind of implying that he had some kind of like hypnotic control.
There was more to it than the badge. There's more to it, I think, than the badge that's doing it, I think. But again, that was not played out.
Yeah.
Because what happens here...
And you like basically know like at this point he's some supernatural being from hell. Like, why does he need anybody's help to...
Right.
Well, this is going to be a thing. Why is... this whole conflict, like, in 20 minutes is going to become completely irrelevant.
It does. Makes a good point. I don't know why... The accountant who, spoiler alert, he's actually like the devil's like henchman who's trying to get Nicolas Cage back to hell. I don't know why he needs the help of two local police officers. Right. In fact, it's not important to the movie. It really doesn't accomplish anything.
No.
It just sort of becomes this generic plot device that doesn't help anything along.
No.
But then once it happens, it's like they couldn't cut it out of the movie because they... so many other things start to hinge on it.
Right, it's referenced a couple times.
So then, I guess we cut back to maybe the most famous scene in this movie. Probably the most famous scene in this movie.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite scene of this podcast.
Best line.
So Nicolas Cage is having sex with this waitress, and she's getting all crazy with it, and he's still fully clothed, and she says, I guess we've already dropped, we're going to be dropping some F-bombs here, so I'm just going to say it. She says to him, oh, why don't you fuck naked? And he says, I never disrobe before a gunfight.
But he said, the way he delivers the line, it's so, no it isn't. It's
perfect, I love it.
It's so humdrum. It's like if you would say like, I never eat spicy foods after 11.
He's a supernatural preacher. That's perfect.
It's
perfect
said in
delivery.
Such...
perfect.
No, it's said in such like a defeatist...
I agree with Brian here. I think that the deadpan...
What do you want me to say? Like,
I
never disrobe before a gunfight.
How about have him disrobe? How about have him
like
be naked?
A badass? You're like, I never disrobe before a gunfight.
Right, like,
and then
he
starts shooting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, that he. He literally said it like a guy who has like diarrhea. Like, I never disrobe before a gunfight. Like,
I can't be bothered to take my pants off.
I get terrible gas when I eat beans. Like that's it's like that's literally what it's like.
He
like a freaking old man with indigestion. That's how he says that line.
Yeah.
So then the gunman all busts in the room. He's
conveniently
shooting
one
him.
At a time. One at a time. Yeah.
And then while he's having sex with her, he just kind of uses her as a human shield and he's shooting everybody.
Yeah. And so this is kind of funny. And this felt to me like a deleted scene from a better Grindhouse movie like Crank or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like this actually, there's a part towards the end of this when like they're getting tased while he's shooting guys, while he's getting tased, while he's having sex with her. Then I'm like, this had to have been cut from like a Crank movie or something, you know. Which
yeah, I was wondering what that did for the sexual process when you get tased. Yeah.
Well, did you watch? She was. This was kind of funny. She was loving it.
Yeah,
she's like. You know?
Yeah.
Because does the electricity transfer
right,
through?
It does. Yeah, it's going right through to her.
And there's like moments
to her. From one cattle prod through another.
There's a point where, like, a guy runs in. Nicolas Cage has, like, a 38. He has, like, a handgun.
And
he
a bottle of whiskey.
He shoots a guy. The guy gets him launched backwards through, like, 20 feet, like, through two windows. I was like, what kind of bullets are in, like, a 38? Like, wait, you would have to shoot someone with a bazooka to have them go that far back.
Yeah, that's the one for no reason. He did it behind his back.
Yes.
Yeah. I was saying this before. Like he's like the Rafer Alston or like Pistol Pete Maravich of gunfighters. He just all these like crazy trick shots for no reason.
Yeah. And the things I liked about this movie and the things I had a problem with in this movie were summed up in like one sequence during this gunfight. When a guy comes running in with a sieve, you know, like one of those curved, like, farm tools, and I'm like, that's crazy. But they don't portray it as crazy. He comes running in like this is just a legitimate weapon. And then Amber Heard kills him with a hoe.
With
a
hoe, right, yeah,
a
hoe. Which was great, was appropriate symbolism to Amber.
Which is kind of
yeah.
But
it was.
It is seriously shot like it's something out of an episode of, like, L.A. Law. Like,
it's just kind of generically, yeah, it's
like,
all still master shots, steady camera, you know. It's
terribly.
I liked also how
I was thinking whip pans, fast zooms, you know, crazy angles, crazy music cues, you know, like 70s Waka Chica music cues, you know?
Yeah.
The henchman that went after him
unnecessary
got, like,
sound effects. Like,
got progressively worse, like, weapon-wise. Like, the first people had, like, automatic guns, and then, like, the next guy had, like, a machete, and then the next guy had, like, garden tools. It's like, shouldn't it be getting better as they go along?
Yeah. I wanted to know where that guy was like, all I got was a sieve.
Yeah, you know? Why did that guy go into a gunfight with a sieve? I always use a sieve in a gunfight.
So they go...
Nice delivery. That
they go outside, they go outside, and they do something that you should never probably have a main character do, which... They have Amber Heard kill a cop.
Okay, because we should
saying,
say,
yeah.
well, we should say,
because these cops aren't evil; they're just kind of duped by
just
the
to say,
accountant.
Bill Fichtner shows the accountant shows up with the two cops, and then he kind of sends the two cops in because he's like, because he sees Jonah King, he's like, I don't know what's going on.
I thought they were kind of checking each other out when they walked by. Did you see that? Like the accountant came out and Jonah Hill like looked up and like
elevator eyes going on here.
What up, CPA?
I saw that. I caught that.
So. He sends the cops in, and the cops... This is where there was something else going on, because the cops are just, like, coming and shooting.
Well, they were told to shoot on sight.
Shoot on
to
sight.
To kill them. And so they start shooting, and Nicolas Cage shoots one, and, like, hits him in the side of the head or whatever. And then the other one's, like, sneaking around back, and Amber Heard sees him and
shoots him.
Shoots
him in the head.
In the head. Just
and
kills,
here's the question.
Kills
the
cop.
She knows nothing about this guy, Milton.
Yeah, why does she shoot the cop?
Right.
Because this does... I kept thinking this was going to make sense, and it never makes sense.
No.
And also, why is the accountant sending these cops in with guns? Because the accountant knows that spoiler alert, Nicolas Cage cannot be killed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like,
yep.
They cannot kill Nicolas Cage. Right. So none of this made sense. Right. This was all pointless, except to have Amber Heard kill a cop so that Amber Heard has to go on the run with Nick Cage.
That's all it was.
And I was like,
So yeah, then so they take off in their car, and they see Jonah King there with his men before they leave, so he knows that, oh, he's there and he's after him or whatever, because he's trying to find Jonah King, because Jonah King's got his granddaughter.
So basically, Nick Cage is trying to find Jonah King, and the accountant is trying to, Bill Fichtner is trying to find Nick Cage. So it's just this big game of cat and mouse and dog.
So they're driving along, and the accountant catches up to them in a police car. And I have here
some of the worst freaking CG special effects I've ever seen in my life.
And they drive along the longest bridge since Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. They're driving on it for like 5 minutes.
Andy makes a great point.
Oh my God.
This would have been better if they had done it intentionally badly. Like, if they had not portrayed this, if they had done this almost like 70s style, where you'd almost, you know, where they used to do like the loop playing out, like when you're shooting it on the, I'm totally forgetting the word. Where the loop is just going by. Rear projection. Yep. If they had done that, I would have bought it and been like, oh, yeah, that's a nice grindhouse touch. But they don't. But they don't do it well either. Oh, so you're just like, terrible. You're neither here nor there. You're
oh, my God. Some of those shots are like, are you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's right. I mean, it's almost wow.
It's like, what was the budget on this movie? Because wow.
Well, but that's the problem is they didn't commit to either doing it grindhouse or doing it well.
Right.
It's stuck. So much of this movie is stuck in this weird limbo, and tonally is all over the place. Yeah.
I also like the way the accountant like caught up with Nicolas Cage. Like, usually in movies when like someone's chasing someone, they'll like, you'll see in like the rear view mirror, they're speeding up at like 100 miles an hour. It's like the accountant was just driving like, okay, I'm going to drive 5 miles an hour faster than him, so I casually get back up to him. I'm going to tap him in the rear.
I like that.
And then all of a sudden they have this conversation.
Well, I was going to say, you're going to tell me you like this conversation, this whole character on the bridge.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought this would have worked.
This would have, but now imagine. Nicolas Cage a little bit crazier, obvious rear projection.
Not even.
And make it look really like low tech in the camera style.
But you have to remember,
this scene could have worked.
Grindhouse, not grindhouse, whatever. It was bad.
But what this scene was, you have to remember, this is what they were going for in this grindhouse thing of this totally ridiculous, over the top nature.
You should shoot it and edit it that way,
too. This would have been funny with Bill Fichtner. Like, there's a funny moment where Bill Fichtner's got, like, the police car, like, loudspeaker, and he's, like, trying to make it work, and he's like, oh, you know, it takes him a second to get to go. It is funny.
I thought that was okay.
Because it's so. But you have to remember,
But you got to imagine what the scene would have looked like had this been realized. I can't wait to know what you thought of
him in the gas truck. I can't wait to get your thoughts on that one.
Oh, I thought that was, again, this is the. This was the best stuff in the movie.
Fichtner's the highest points of the film. I hated the movie. The highest points were Bill Fichtner's points.
We had to listen to you defend the happening for an entire podcast. Yeah. So don't even.
All of the best stuff in this movie is Bill Fichtner.
I hated the movie, and I can agree with that. So I agree with that.
The problem with this scene, though, is it would have been funnier, as we said before, if Nicolas Cage was over the top. But the problem is when they're having these interactions, they're both playing it so low key. It's just like two guys.
Yes.
Just talking in monotone voices to each other.
And that's why it failed.
And Fichtner is funny because he's monotone.
But it works for him.
And then you're right, with Cage playing it so low too, you're like, oh, wait.
Because you'd imagine the opposite would be true because the contrast would have worked.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can like
desat. Basically, they're driving side by side down this bridge having this conversation and Nicolas Cage pulls out his god gun.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just these bullets that can kill.
I really know what they
supernatural
do.
Supernatural creatures.
Or they don't go to heaven or hell. They're just
dead. Yeah. So he shoots at the accountant, and it kind of just grazes his cheek, and his car flies off the bridge.
And it flips like 10 times.
Yeah, why did his car explode?
I don't know.
The bullet just went like straight through the car, and then it just exploded.
Just nicked his cheek,
And it flips like, flips, crash.
I like how Amber Heard and Nicolas Cage are suddenly like completely on the same page in this scene, like after really not knowing each other all that well. Because when they're driving at one point, he takes the gun out and he's like, "Now!" And she knows to like duck her head as he shoots. Yeah. It's like, when did they draw that play out? Yeah. If I were her, I'd be like, well, "Now! Well, what is this? What do I do? What do you want me to do?"
Yeah. And then I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. Are we got okay.
It doesn't matter.
To the church scene where Nicolas Cage walks.
Next.
Okay.
Yeah. Next. Wait. Let's see. I have it in my notes.
Yes. Next.
It's next.
Well, let's jump there. So Nick Cage walks into a church
because they're driving down the street and says, "Oh, look, there's Jonah's van." She recognized the van. So they go into this church. How did
they come across this guy? Luckily, I mean, do they know every movie makes?
I don't.
On all the roads in the freaking United States of America, you can find...
they just pass by where he is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, there's even for, like, attempted grindhouse, there's a couple of conveniences here. Yeah. Where you're like,
no that's... intel whatsoever, just, oh, we're driving down the road. Oh, hey, there's his van.
Hey, there it is.
That? Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he walks into a church, there's all these people just, like, singing and worshiping. He off just key. Walks
this was
in
very
with
Wicker
a
Man-ish.
Gun.
He walks with a gun.
Like, everyone's, like, dressed in, like, weird clothing and, like...
And he tells Amber Heard, "Stay outside."
Yeah.
So stay in my car. 30 seconds later, she's walking in the door.
Again, all bad choices. She does not make a good choice at any point in this film. And then it's okay. He walked in with a gun. Nobody thought it was weird. Why did no one think it was weird? Everyone in the church has a gun.
They're all the cult members.
They're all expecting him. So he sees the baby. One of the
him to drive down that road and find their van.
Right, yeah,
were they waiting for him?
They must have been.
I thought so. Because
they pop
all, like,
up as soon as he sees the baby and realizes it's
so then
his baby, his granddaughter. He goes to get her. Everyone pops up with their guns and like, and then Jonah comes walking around.
And
the
we get the writer's convenience where he explains the backstory.
They would have been sitting there for like weeks if I mean, he hadn't. I'm getting here soon. I'm getting tired of singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's here! Everyone, start singing!
It worked! It worked!
They found the van at the parking lot!
Our elaborate plan worked!
Yeah.
So basically, him and Jonah have this conversation about how he killed his daughter, and he's here to get his granddaughter.
And he got his junk bit off.
Yeah. And the guy from Revolution who's playing...
Jonah King.
I didn't really enjoy his performance, but at least he's trying to be ridiculously over the top. I didn't think it was, I don't know, it didn't work for me, but his heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
It just, I think somebody...
his heart was
I don't, yeah.
He tried.
Yeah. So basically, what the scene boils down to is Jonah King shoots Nicolas Cage in the face.
Yes.
And then they kidnap Piper.
Yep.
And they kidnap Piper. And then we find out that Nick Cage has a Wolverine-esque healing factor where you can wound him, but it just all heals itself up.
Like, it'll slow him down. If you shoot him in the face, he'll be out for like
heal
a
him
for
at
like
that
a
point.
Half
he's
an
like
hour.
The T-1000.
But the eye popped open. He jumped up and started shooting people. Yeah. There's that one guy in there, I don't know, a stunt guy or whatever, but you see the freaking the hair on that guy?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave him so many lines, too.
I know.
What the heck was with that hair?
I don't know. Is it a bad wig or what?
It had to be a wig. No one has hair like that.
Well, there were touches. Like, I really believe that most of the wardrobe and the costume department was on board with it, with, like, a 70s grindhouse movie.
I guess maybe, because
it's so
bizarre.
I shot that way, too.
Yeah. The character wasn't anything over the... You'd expect, like, if you have hair like that, it'd be, like, an over-the-top character that did something crazy or they made a joke about it or something but it was just it literally looked like a carpet sample on his head.
and it is like that's where I think they were like, we're gonna go ridiculous with the costuming and the hair and the makeup, and then they brought in the freaking director of, like, I don't know, Saved by the Bell, and he was like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm gonna totally play this straightforward, and we're just gonna get a lot of coverage and I'm gonna get a lot of alternate angles, and then we'll put it together. Yeah. Make sure it's really nicely lit. You know, like this
nice
is not
even
lit,
lighting.
Like, yeah, there is a lot of
high key. We're talking high key lighting.
Yeah, this is not grindhouse lighting.
No, not
at
all.
And the costumes are crazy too.
You would expect that this would work again, and I said this before. This would work so well if we had like a low grain film stock or like an after effect to make it look like low grain film stock. Shaky cameras, obvious rear projection in driving sequences, crazy music, unnecessary sound effects, whip pans, fast zooms. That would have made this film work a lot better.
I would have added a little more phonetic energy to it.
What
they did.
Faster edits. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But it is so funny. Like, I totally agree with Brian, though. There were departments that were on board. like the vehicle, like transportation, like their vehicles. Everyone's driving around these kind of like even the camper we're the about to be, right. And you're like, oh, this is queer, like a 70s style camper.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, like, it was like they were trying to make it like a Charles Manson type thing.
Right. Yeah.
With
the way like. People and the wardrobes were like. Did the one lady look like she came from like her secretary job? She was wearing like a business suit and like heels while she's like fighting people.
Yes.
She's here on our lunch break.
Yeah.
So yeah, they take off with Amber Heard in their little motorcade, and she's in the RV with the baby and with Jonah Hill or Jonah.
That's
Hill,
an
Jonah
RV.
King. And
there's an RV.
And. And Nicolas Cage wakes up and he interrogates the crazy hair guy and finds out some information. I can't remember what it was.
Maybe I wanted to ask him where he got his hair.
Where'd you get your hair?
Where's your hair?
There was something funny there with the accountant there. He did something like, oh, that looked, what'd he say?
Oh, when the accountant comes in later,
he's
yeah.
Like, oh, that looks bad or something. Was he, I don't know. He said something where's funny that I kind of giggled.
Yeah.
And I was, that is kind of, and he steps that's on, kind of funny, yeah.
So Nicolas Cage takes off in his charger, taking you know, driving after the RV.
And then the more cultists chase him.
Yeah, it's a crazy.
They run out of church.
So he's chasing the RV, and then so he's like in a Jonah cult sandwich where he's in the middle.
Right. So yes. Amber Heard's fighting this business lady. And no, everybody
totally a business lady.
Jonah, they just let him go.
Yeah.
So Jonah kicks a cat fry.
Yeah. He's like,
being a cult leader has its benefits.
And so he.
Yeah, it's just all shit's going on.
It's just a lot.
And then, like, the woman's, like, playing with the baby, like, on the bed while this fight's going on. Like, nothing's happening. Like, breastfeeding it.
Yeah. And there's, like, a funny line where at some point, like, Jonah King, like, is totally over time. And he's like, I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to defile your corpse.
See, that would have worked again. Know? That would have been so perfect if they just...
But the other cultists are, like, behind Nick Cage. Like, it did... I got really confused at one point.
As to who was chasing who?
I didn't know who was chasing who.
Yeah.
Who was who? What car was who?
Is this the scene where the woman is, like, on one
who
knee
made
shooting
who?
And then we made you. The car?
We made you.
We made you! Who made who?
Yeah, that because the business lady falls out of the camper.
She pulls out a gun and she's like, you son of a
this
bitch!
Is that one
knee, pop, pop, pop. And then she gets hit by her own people. And she explodes or whatever.
Like, that was another note where I'm like, yes. That, now, okay, you got, for like a shot sequence, they got it. You know?
So basically in the end, Amber Heard jumps out of the RV and onto the charger.
Yeah, she stabs Jonah King with his own necklace.
Which happened earlier.
Which,
I was stabbing him with his necklace. His necklace.
Yes. I was thinking that too.
Twice.
Wouldn't it be great if he was like, again?
I was waiting for that, too. I was like, I thought they were going to play that for comedy, and they didn't.
People need to stop stabbing me with my own necklace.
Jesus.
So, and then there, of course, as soon as she gets out of the RV, Nicolas Cage's car stalls. It's been shot up, so the engine doesn't work.
Yeah, there's, and I have a note here. I'm like, in this crazy movie, why are we watching a sequence of Nick Cage and Amber Heard
pushing
a car down
the
highway?
They push like freaking 7 miles, didn't they?
I'm like,
at this point, is anyone asking, boy, how's that car still going?
Did we really need to answer this or like set this up?
Because they pushed it. Like I said, 7 miles.
It's like a
and
sequence.
Then the tow truck shows up.
Well, yeah, right. This is where he reveals that he's undead. He's a
Well, they could have just waited there on the side of the road where they were for the tow truck.
He reveals
they
he's,
have to push it down to the country roads and.
I don't know. He reveals that he's the undead, and Amber Heard reveals she's like this great quote. She's like, "Ooh, devil worshippers. They freak me out."
Well, there's even a line where she says, "Bigfoot, ghosts, aliens, that's all BS. It's not true. But when you start dealing with demons," I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
And then David Morse shows up.
Yeah, David Morse.
Yeah.
As
Webster
buddy.
With a tow truck.
Yep. Which I kind of felt bad for David Morse because he's in this really thankless role. And this is a guy who was like, kind of like a solid B-list actor for like a lot of the 90s and is now like kind of like falling down the ladder.
To a supporting character in Drive Angry.
Yeah, and I'm like, I like David Morse.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
This just sort of made me feel sad in a way. I was like, he's better than this.
It's David Morse.
Wait a minute. Have we gotten to the scene yet where the sheriff...
Oh, I don't even know if we were talking about that.
How did you let that slip?
Yeah.
Let's rewind it. If we rewind the movie about 15, 20 minutes.
We're not that far ahead.
ahead of it, I don't think.
But. No, we're, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he comes in after the cops are killed.
Yeah, yeah. I totally forgot
and
that.
The, and the woman that Nicolas Cage was sleeping with is bugging out. She's like hugging herself in the corner, and there's all these dead bodies. And
this is the runner-up for
the state troopers show up, and they're like, oh my God, we got two dead cops. What are we going to do here? And it is none other than
Tom Atkins.
There you go.
The wonderful
from
Tom
Halloween,
Atkins.
Halloween 3 fame.
Noted, Halloween 3 in the Fog.
Noted huge star that probably nobody knows. But
wait, we need to look up that one line that the waitress says to the...
We were fucking... And then, what'd she say?
And he was shooting.
He was fucking me and shooting the same time or something like that.
Yeah. That's never happened to me before. Has it ever happened to you?
And he says something like, we need to get a shrink in here.
Right, yeah.
And if you're a fan of John Carpenter movies, you'll recognize Tom Atkins.
Yeah, definitely.
He was like a Tom. He was like a, you know, when John Carpenter was a big deal, Atkins was all over the screen. Actually, it's really too bad for like Tom Atkins that Carpenter drove himself out of Hollywood and like infuriated anyone. Like his career really could have been extended if Carpenter hadn't like pissed off everyone.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I really wanted the sheriff when she was like, oh, here it is. We was fucking. He killed them while we was fucking. And then she asked, has that ever happened to you? I really wanted him to be like, well, there was that one time back in 83. But that's beside the point. Yeah. Talk about you.
Yeah. I made a lot of mistakes in my life.
I'm not proud of it. But.
So going back forward. So they go, the tow truck brings their car to
Billy Baldwin.
David Morris's.
Garage
his garage, I guess. Yeah,
he's got some garage. It's like a safe hideout. He's gonna try to fix the car, and they're gonna lay low for a while.
Yeah,
and he then tells her the story.
Yeah, and somehow I can't remember what happens here. But
well,
he gives him another car.
We get,
but we get a little background.
Oh, wait,
Nick
Cage
is standing by the fire, talking about how hell is and all that.
And now hell makes you watch the suffering of others.
He says, "Hey, you want a bud? Only time I want to drink beer is out of Jonah King's skull."
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's probably going to come back into play.
That's a callback.
Yeah.
Hell's actually pretty advanced if they like have rooms with like TVs where
right.
you watch
you monitor
things.
Your loved ones
it's
suffering.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Satan really has it going.
And David Morse has a couple of Chevelles apparently. Yeah.
He says, take your pick. He's got these beautiful cars. They're all restored. And
yeah. And they're like, okay, well, our sounds old good. Car broke down, but now this car works, and all right, time to get back on the road.
Yep.
Let's and once again, Amber Heard, safe and sound, but she chooses
she
to go back into the clutches of danger.
Terrible.
And
choices.
David Morse is like, I'm coming with you. He's like, no, you stay behind.
Like, well, yeah, let's leave the one other guy who can fight behind.
Hey, let's jump ahead a little bit, because there's this whole scene where David Morse is like, I want to go with you, and Nicolas Cage is like, no, you got to stay behind. Spoiler alert. He did not stay behind because David Morse does come back into this movie later on very shortly. So you're like, oh, okay, why was that even covered in that way? It doesn't...
Well, because they have their little secret quiet conversation.
Yeah. Which didn't even be secret because Amber Heard, he could have said anything to him. Amber Heard didn't care. She's like, hey, I'm going along. You know?
Yeah, that didn't come back into play later.
I already shot a cop for this.
So, so they're driving down the road and the cops come up.
Yes.
Up behind them.
Tom Atkins gives his
Tom
speech.
Atkins again with his great speech.
Yep.
When I tell you to shoot the tires, I'm actually saying shoot their heads.
So shoot for the tires.
And here comes the worst CG I've ever seen in any major motion.
Yeah, the truck was CG.
Yeah, this is bad.
Because now comes up, so like Nicolas Cage
the truck
is spotted
is
by the cops.
What's it, the count on the top of that car when it's sliding
well,
is the worst.
There.
Well, let's set it up.
Let's
set it up.
Yeah.
So
there's a roadblock.
There's a roadblock. Police.
For anyone who hasn't seen the movie, they would have no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't set it up because you have to set it up. There's a roadblock.
Now that's a setup.
There's a roadblock.
You set them up and we'll knock them down, Andy.
On the highway, they've got the roadblock. Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard come up. They stop at the roadblock. And then from behind the roadblock, you see the truck coming.
And it's a CGI truck.
And they're playing, I can't remember
what
song it is.
The accountant is listening to Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
And they all turn, the cops turn around like, oh, what the, and the truck just comes plowing
that's
through.
The way,
and Tom Atkins says, that's unexpected or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that was
but
unexpected.
As it's plowing through, the accountant steps out of the truck and onto a police car, which is moving too because it's being pushed along by the truck.
Yes.
And he's standing on the hood of the police car as it's sliding down the road.
It looks like terrible.
I can't remember what he's doing, but it's just like the worst. Yeah, he's just standing. Green.
It's the worst CG I've ever seen.
But it's not the worst CG. The problem is it's terrible CG, but it's not bad enough. It either needed to be worse or better. Like, they had to go one of two ways with it, and they're like, no, we're just going to look really bad, but not, like, intentionally bad. You know, it just looks like...
Not goofy bad.
Just cheap bad. Like, yeah. But again, Bill Fichtner doing a great job selling it. Like, I still thought he was selling the scene, although he's surrounded by some really, like, just low-end, like, CG. Like, very, like, sci-fi channel level CG.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like sci-fi special.
Like, basic cable, like, CG. Yeah. Like, Or like once, I kept thinking of Once Upon a Time. I don't watch Once Upon a Time, but whenever you see like the promos and there's like CG in a promo, and you're like, "Oh, that looks bad."
Yeah. That's what it is. So anyway, So
Bill Fichtner is basically working with Nick Cage now.
Yeah. So yeah, Nick Cage.
He does this as a distraction, so he can drive through it.
Shit going on, and then he whips out his FBI badge.
He convinces Tom Atkins that he's an FBI agent, and he discovers one of the cops is a
somehow he knows. Like, it looks over, and one of the cops is like a plant from the cult.
Yeah. And that line, the Tom Atkins line there, stand down, got it. That's directly from My Bloody Valentine also. That's kind of... He's like, I told you to stand down, God never, or something like that. Uh-huh. It's like directly from My Bloody Valentine.
Maybe it's just because Todd Farmer's not a good writer.
I know, so I kind of laugh.
I was going to say, boy.
What should I have him say?
Tom Atkins fan like myself, I was like, yeah! Stand down, God damn it.
I can imagine the tens of people who probably caught that hilarious in joke.
That's right.
Was he in My Bloody Valentine?
Who?
Tom Atkins.
He's a major part in it.
How are we not getting this reference? Isn't everyone getting this reference?
I can't believe you're not.
Yeah. Everyone at home is probably like, oh my God, that what a... who could not see that stunning reference to a metal scene in a horror movie from the 80s?
You'll get feedback on Facebook. People, they'll say, oh yeah, I caught that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways. So,
Do you know how to get feedback on Facebook, Andy?
Basically, he just has the Satanist cop call up Jonah King and say, oh, Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard are dead, so go ahead with your ceremony, which is, we haven't mentioned yet, but he plans on sacrificing this baby at midnight at this prison.
On a full moon night, still water.
In order to raise hell.
Which is funny, because the cop does that, apparently. But then you see that cop at the party.
Yeah, he's like partying with them with his like shirt off.
He never
and everything.
Said, "Hey, I was bullshitting about that." You know, he's not dead. Yeah, he's probably coming here right now.
In fact, he's probably going to
let him know.
Yeah. By the way, I called and said that he's probably coming here right now with a ton of guns and some weird FBI guys working with him. We are in a lot of trouble, everyone.
Yeah, he like has a beer and he's like partying and everything.
Why did those cops legitimately think that guy worked for the FBI when he just drove like an oil tanker into their cars?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like
standard FBI protocol.
And again, flip the coin and call it.
I think in the world of this movie, he has to have some kind of hypnotic power because otherwise,
it would make no sense.
Yeah.
So then we have to skip ahead to that night at the prison. All the Satanists are...
They're sacrificing.
They're partying. They're getting ready to sacrifice the baby.
Yeah.
And and Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard pull up. And Nick Cage goes, I guess, to scope out the...
Get a lay of the land.
Yeah. And then he comes back and she's being held hostage by the accountant.
For some reason. I don't know why.
Who tells
her? Well, they're going to work out a deal.
But then the accountant is like... Okay, I don't really... He goes, why don't you do what you've got to do? He's like, I don't really have a problem with that. Do what you've got to do, but I will leave this girl alone if you will come with me after you do what you've got to do.
Basically, the accountant is there to bring Nicolas Cage back to hell.
Yeah, and he's like, the
accountant's okay with saving the life of a baby.
For him, whatever way, it was a win-win thing.
Yeah, and the accountant is also like, look, I think these Satan worshippers are creepy too, so, you know.
Because he said Satan gets pissed when people sacrifice babies.
Yeah, he's like, so go ahead, you know.
Why didn't they, a conversation that if it was had, like, an hour later, earlier, it could have really...
Also really didn't need to be in the movie because they could have just had Nick Cage go in and the accountant show up later and be like, I was fine with you doing
what I'm saying.
The conflict between them with him chasing him was completely irrelevant at that point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, Bill Fichtner selling it, though.
Well, he
learned about the Satanist thing when he was interrogating the one guy,
so now he's helping him.
Yeah, and he's like,
why not just be like, hey, I'm going to help you.
Some men would hold a knife to
her. Yeah, that would have been much. That would have been much more badass if they had fought together.
I kind of thought, yeah, that actually would have been better at that point in the movie. Because he really, even though he's holding a knife to her, he's like, look, I'm not going to stop anything you're doing. I'm just asking you to agree to go back to hell with me after you're done. So, this sort of was a weird way to play this plot point.
Right. Either way, he busts in with his car into the prison.
He does like a 30 foot lands on some guys. Jump. He's like 30 feet in the air in a flaming car jumping over a prison wall. And it's shot so badly. It's shot like it's just a standard Hollywood stunt. I'm like, this is not a stunt. He just jumped a 30-foot prison wall in a flaming car.
He got the dragon mobile.
Right. With the flame. And most of them, you have a shot from inside of the car. I see it coming down, or like on the fender and see it coming down.
Or something like that.
Or, yeah, some crazy helicopter shot, or see something cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is just like a generic shot from like a Die Hard movie. Like that stunt.
The big moments were never sold.
That disappointed
me. Jack's taking a picture of himself.
Yeah. I'm posting it on my Twitter feed.
There's a podcast going on, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm still listening.
Jack's so vain. Yeah. I bet he thinks that podcast is about.
It is now.
He's so vain.
So basically, this fight breaks out.
That's nice, vibrato.
Everyone's shooting at each other. Nicolas Cage can't be killed anyways, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, there's no stakes. Like, there are no stakes.
Aside from, the baby.
But the funny thing is, too, if you notice, every time he's got a clear shot of Jonah King, he kills, two other people.
Right.
And then he's out of ammo.
Yeah.
Then he's out of ammo. He's got to go, I got my other gun. Does the same thing. Kills the two people next to Jonah King. I'm out of ammo again, damn it.
Yep.
And it's like, well, can't you shoot him first then if you're going after him?
He's unkillable. He could just walk right in.
Yeah.
Walk right up to Jonah King.
Well, because that's the math I'm doing is I'm like, okay, of the characters we care about, Nicolas Cage is unkillable. The accountant is unkillable. They're not going to kill Amber Heard. So I'm like, what
the baby, I guess, but what director's going to kill a baby?
Really the baby, is the baby going to survive this? And I'm like, probably.
So it's a baby, yeah.
So this just goes on for a while, and then there was one funny moment that made me laugh, where at some point someone's going for a gun, and they open a cooler, because that's where the gun's at, but it's a cooler of beer, and then they're like, oh, no, they got to go to the other cooler, and it's a cooler.
The red cooler.
That actually made me laugh. I was like,
I also liked when the naked lady was shooting.
Yeah, that was pretty funny too.
There was some random topless girl shooting.
But should have been sold up, like... That was
like that. Could have used more of that.
It was a throwaway moment.
Like, a nice tight shot, or like just really going at it. Or like this, nice and tight.
Yeah, throwaway moment of what should have been a great shot in the movie.
Yeah,
they played it way too
safe.
It should
have been like the gun and
from the
breast area up or something. Or the other way.
Yeah. Hey now,
that's how I would have shot it anyway.
We're all on board with that.
It would have been 90 minutes of that shot.
Yeah, it would have been just in a loop. Yeah.
Andy, why don't you just drop some screenshots?
I'm going to storyboard what I would have done.
And let us know.
Yeah.
So in the end, Cage just shoots Jonah King with his god gun, and he blows up.
Well, okay. First Amanda Heard tries, but Jonah jumps out of the way.
And it just blows up
and she gets flattened.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, she misses with the god gun.
And shoots that generic henchman. Yeah, he's kind of been hanging around.
Yep,
the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, because And then,
why did Jonah King need to be killed with a god gun? Like, I know he was a devil worshiper, but it wasn't like he was some supernatural.
I think just
person.
Because they
he was
going to
kill a baby,
bullets.
So they're going to make him go away forever.
Well, and he kind of had this line where he's like, "You a gun can't kill me," and I'm like, "Well, I can? Well,
I
or
said
can it? Or
some,
like,
yeah. Yeah, not, not, not? Nothing of this world
your
can kill me.
Your freaking necklace, could probably kill you if someone keeps stabbing you.
That would have been funny. If someone stabbed him with a necklace.
Why do you think nothing of this world could kill him anyway?
Yeah,
I think he's just a little too crazy.
He's a crazy cult leader.
Yeah, he thinks he's God.
But, so they blow him up. His jaw comes flying at the screen, and of course half his skull lands on the ground next
conveniently.
To Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. So in travel cut mode.
And then basically Nicolas Cage tricks Amber Heard into thinking that he's dying.
And he says, "Raise this child. Raise the baby."
Yeah, I chose you because
you're a foul mouthed whore. Oh wait,
why did he choose her?
You gave people muffins.
I chose you because you gave those people a free muffin.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What's this great mother more than unemployed, single,
foul-mouthed,
cop-killer.
Fugitive.
Cop-killer
for no reason was totally willing to just shoot
this
a cop
girl
in the
is
face.
Completely responsible. She can raise my granddaughter.
And then he says, and he'll take care of you. And David Morris just walks
in. Literally, all of a sudden, he just walks in.
And David Morris is like, hi there, I'm back in the movie. I know you thought I was done. I got one more day of pay for this movie. I'm sure I got out on this night set.
Don't worry, I'll take care of you. Yeah.
So then they take off with
the baby. Milton really hooked me up.
Those two take off with the baby, and then Nicolas Cage is like, he's like, hey, you should like that acting, and because he's not actually dying because he can't be killed.
And the audience was like, no.
Yeah. And he's drinking beer out of Jonah's skull. Yeah.
Jonah's skull. And then
the accountant's like,
did not see that one coming.
And then the accountant is like, do you want, lets him drive the car back into hell, and then sort of implies.
Now they're friends. Now they are friends. They are driving back to hell.
Yeah.
End of movie.
You boys better not be drinking natty ass.
And they didn't end it with Highway to Hell. I thought for sure that they would.
Yeah. Again,
because they open it with they open it with Born to Raise Hell, right?
No, yeah. Remember. You really would have thought that they would have been able to license that movie. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, that music, license that song. Like, yep. You know, and again, it's AC/DC. If you give them 10 cents,
They did the entire soundtrack to Maximum Overdrive. I'm sure they would have.
They released Walmart exclusives. They will take money and do whatever you want them to do. You know. So that's Drive Angry. This movie at 45% on Rotten Tomatoes, this is probably one of the highest rated movies we've done in this show. And I didn't like it, but
Fincher's, what it was supposed to be. It was never supposed to be good. It was never supposed to be a fun movie.
Yeah, but I think they dropped the ball. Because again, like I said, I've said it three times now.
Conceptually, it should have been a grindhouse movie, but it wasn't supposed to be a grindhouse movie. They weren't making a grindhouse movie.
Right. They made a fairly generic studio movie with a grindhouse script.
Right.
I'll just throw it, it's sort of like a great forgotten classic of the movie Go, where Bill Fichtner is fantastic in that. If you like Bill Fichtner in this movie and you want to see more of him, he steals the movie Go from the late 90s, and he's just one of those guys.
He's a good actor.
Whenever he shows up and stuff, he's very, very good. Let's do A So Wrong It's Right here. This is, ironically, my friend Karen was in a movie directed by this director called Dracula 2000.
Hmm. So, this is the Dracula 2000 guy.
Yeah. Hmm. Which is about
that explains a lot.
Fairly generically directed as well. Right now, we'll see. His name is Patrick Lussier. He is right now about to kind of reboot a classic horror franchise.
Oh, no.
Don't.
So I'm going to give you a guess.
Better not be one I want. I like.
I'm going to give you a guess. Five choices. You can guess which franchise he is about to be rebooting. Hellraiser. Mm-hmm. Child's Play. Oh, the Chucky movies. For people who don't know those. Halloween.
That's not that one.
No. Gremlins. Or Jaws.
They're not doing Jaws.
It's going to be rebooting one of those franchises.
I think I heard Gremlins.
I am going to say it's going to be Hellraiser. That's what I'm going to say.
I was going to say that, but I'll go Child's Play.
Child's Play? Okay, Jack's got Hellraiser, Cody Child's Play, Andy?
I know they're doing Gremlins. I just heard that. So I'll go Gremlins.
Okay, going Gremlins?
I'll go Hellraiser.
Going Hellraiser. Wow, two episodes in a row. No one got it. What? It is Halloween.
Wow. Again? Halloween. Another Halloween reboot?
He has been announced as the director of the next Halloween movie.
Didn't that reboot?
So how could they pick a director worse suited than Rob Zombie to do Halloween
and
remake?
And why would you do another Halloween remake? I mean, are they remaking the first one?
It is a new Halloween movie, and he is the director on board for it that is apparently going to take it in a different direction from the Rob Zombie debacles, which those may end up on this show. By the way,
those may end up on
this show at some point.
Yeah.
Because both of those are pretty terrible. There are actually reboots, essentially. A Hellraiser reboot is also in the works.
Yeah, I know. They've been doing that for a while.
A Gremlins reboot is supposedly in the works. There is talk that a Jaws reboot may be in the works, but Universal is a little afraid of how could it offend people if you try to remake one of the greatest movies ever made? That would not offend anyone.
No,
right?
Everyone
would be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, who wouldn't sign off on that?
No.
That is Drive Angry. Why don't we go around? Because we can do a little, is this movie so bad it's good?
No.
Watching. Andy says no.
Oh, my. Andy got real close to the microphone.
Even though I do
one.
Have the Blu-ray now. Ugh.
Yeah. Andy says no. Jack?
I say no. I think it's just a bucket of missed opportunities to make a great fun grindhouse tribute type film, you know, an homage to that genre, and they failed.
Cody?
I don't think it was as terrible as I expected it to be, but I wouldn't say it's so bad it's good.
Right. I'd watch it again.
It has crazy sex scenes, nudity.
Well, if Amber Heard showed her boobies, that would, but...
Wow, what a mature way to make that statement, huh? Good stuff.
Amber Heard showed her boobies.
I'd be like, okay, I'm watching that again.
Wow, when's the next movie reviewer opening at a website? Get that kind of material. I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it. I don't know. I don't know. If somebody just cut the Bill Fichtner scenes together for me, I'd probably watch that again. But that's other than that, I don't think I would. It is pretty crazy, though. And I don't know. Its heart was in the right place. A lot of these, like, attempted grindhouse movies just don't do it for me. I don't think that they can. Maybe it's just a genre you can't recapture. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The Quentin Tarantino grindhouse movies were good.
I wasn't that wild even on those.
Really?
I
they at least tried to make a legitimate grindhouse movie.
Oh, yeah. They at least
went. They kind of knew what they were doing.
They were fully committed to it, where some of this was
Yeah, that's what, like, this... Roger Ebert review was saying same type of thing. Like, he didn't pan it, but he's saying, I know what they're trying to go for, but fell short. But he said it was a well-made movie.
Did he say he wanted to see Amber Heard's boobies too?
That's down here, I believe, in the
end. Okay, third paragraph.
Yeah. Boobies. Yeah. I see boobies right
Matt,
there.
Matt, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
He never went a review without using that word.
Yeah.
Did he say swiggity swag with
me? No, that's a new term, so he didn't know that.
It's too new, too hot, too new. Too fresh. We were in Glitter again. That's fresh. So I guess that brings this one to a close. We'll do the quick plug. Some of us are on Twitter. Jack.
Mm-hmm. At Jack Astorberg.
Cody.
At Cody A. Wolf.
You two jokers are nowhere near the Twitter or the Twitterverse. It is fantastic.
Away from that.
At Wind Up Films.
I still want to make the Andy Wolf parody account, though.
We really do need to.
Yeah, some people have Twitters.
Can you do that without my permission?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll sue you.
In fact,
a lot of famous people have Twitters that they don't actually... use. Yeah. They're like, other people run it, so we could make it.
In fact,
I'll just call it Randy Wolf, so you won't be able to.
Randy Wolf.
Or we could say it's your identical twin brother.
You mean like Randy, like Randy?
You have to make sure it's not Randy Wolf, the baseball pitcher.
There's someone listening right now who I know actually might do that, and I would totally endorse it if they did.
If it wasn't a Major League Baseball pitcher, it'd be perfect.
That's a great idea. And as always, you can find
Full
us on
Moons
Facebook.
Make me a little Randy.
That's what I'm saying.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Right. Randy for Wolf.
Well, wait, Randy, what? Randy like the wolf.
He's creeped me out.
What? I creeped you out.
Be in.
Coming from the person who described his tight shot of a topless woman with a machine gun.
Yeah.
What could be better?
Style.
This is all dissolving now.
Yeah. All right.
And evolving.
And always find us on Facebook. Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out on Facebook. You can like us. Great picture. Oh, my. Holy Lord. I just started to wonder what the picture from this one's going to be. This they'll be difficult to find a family friendly picture from this one.
It will.
This is a.
Can we blur things out?
Challenge. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have done that before. Oh, actually, we have done that
before. It's got to be from the motel. It's got to be that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a way to do that. I forgot.
Yeah, it's
got to
be.
Jack is pretty fantastic.
Just a big black blob over the naked woman.
Yeah. So do like that. You can, we'll be coming back soon with more episodes, more terrible, crazy movies, possibly an in-theater episode in the works. And other than that, we will see you on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.